Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
All right, welcome in. I hope you enjoyed some BC football, though they did end up losing by a field goal. Put up a nice fight in the second half there. Unfortunately, they come up just short. We're with you until 6 o'clock, so a lot of meat on the bone, a lot on the table with the Patriots now 7-4 in the season. And by the way, this hour brought to you by McFarlane Energy and their new home oil customer incentives at McFarlaneEnergy.com. All right, so a couple of things I want to hit on in terms of the Patriots. So first of all, are we getting close to Bill Belichick getting vindication for his decision to move on from Tom Brady with his team now 7-4, and it looks like he found his franchise quarterback? And also on the table, do you consider this Patriots team right now as they sit 7-4, have a couple of extra days to get ready for the Tennessee Titans a week from Sunday? Do you consider them to be legitimate bona fide contenders in the AFC? 617-779-7937, the number. Again, 617-779-7937 is the number. So I want to start with Bill for a second here, because I remember back to last season when the Patriots, it was a miserable product that they put on the football field with Cam Newton as the quarterback. And Bill Belichick was sort of trying to, I don't want to say control the fan base, but he was trying to justify why his team was not performing well. He went on with his buddy Charlie Weiss on a show on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he essentially said it was a reset year. And when that happened, most of the media in the town mocked Bill Belichick for that, because Bill's whole point about that was, hey, when we had Tom, we were going all in. We were doing everything we could to try to win at that particular point in time, and we had to sort of reset the books. That's what we had to do. Like, we think about the Red Sox. Remember, they wanted to get under the CBT. They did that, and we saw what they did this past season, where they made it all the way to the ALCS, two wins away from getting to the World Series. Well, Belichick was saying last year, this is a similar scenario. When we moved on from Tom, this is a reset year. We had to clear the books and get ready for a big offseason, which, of course, we all know they spent a ton of money in the offseason, more than anybody else in the NFL. And, of course, they had a major selection in the draft as well in terms of the franchise quarterback. But those comments by Bill saying it was a reset year, saying we were all in with Tom, those comments were universally mocked here in New England, basically saying Bill Belichick is making excuses for his team not being good. Well, let's think about that. The reset year for Belichick and company, where they went 7-9. What has happened since they reset? Okay, well, let's examine that for a second here. So first of all, in this reset year, if you will, did Bill find the next great Patriots quarterback? Yes, he did. He found Mac Jones. And look, we can argue in terms of what the ceiling is for Mac Jones. If you're one of these people that don't believe, oh, his arm isn't strong enough, or he doesn't have the mobility, etc., you can have an argument in terms of what the ceiling is, but we would all agree. If you don't agree, then I can't even entertain the conversation. We can all agree that he is a legitimate NFL quarterback. He's already playing at a relatively high level. I'm not saying he's playing at an MVP level. He's not playing at Aaron Rodgers level or anything along those lines, or Dak Prescott, but he's playing at more than a passable level, a above average level as a rookie quarterback of the NFL. So at the very least, this guy has already proven he's a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. So in terms of what he had to do in this reset year, if you will, after moving on from Tom, the main thing, all the rest of the stuff didn't matter if he didn't find the next guy. And so he spent a year with Cam Newton. We all saw how that went. And then he finds Mac Jones, and it's pretty damn clear that he found his next quarterback. And You could say, well, Brian, it's pretty easy to do. He's sitting there at 15 in the draft, and he takes a quarterback. Well, hold on a second. It wasn't as easy as everybody thinks, because think about it from this perspective. How many other teams that drafted in front of the Patriots didn't realize what they needed to do organizationally, right? If you look at these teams, what did the Broncos do in the draft? Well, they were sitting there. They had a higher draft pick than the Patriots. They were sitting there at number 9. What did they do? Oh, yeah, they drafted Patrick Surtain. Now, maybe he turns out to be a really good corner in the league. I'm not disputing that whatsoever. He may be a really good player. But the Broncos don't have a franchise quarterback. They have Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback right now. And Teddy Bridgewater is fine, but he's never going to be somebody that you build your organization around. That's why he's played for the Vikings, and I know he had a major injury there. Then he goes to New Orleans, then he goes to Carolina, and now he's with Denver. He's on his fourth NFL team. You can't be a franchise quarterback in the NFL and play on four teams. It's just not the reality of how the position works. If he was a franchise quarterback, he would have stuck with one organization, and clearly that has not been the case whatsoever. He's on, what, his third team in 3 years. So he's a guy that is about an average quarterback in the NFL. But the problem for the Broncos is they had a chance to rebuild their organization, get their franchise quarterback. They didn't take Fields or Mac Jones. You look at a team like the Carolina Panthers. They got Cam Newton as their quarterback now. We all saw that last year. They brought him back. They moved on from Cam, and now they're so desperate. And I know part of it is an injury to Sam Darnold, but we can all agree on this. Sam Darnold's not good. So their plan in the offseason was, you know what we'll do? We'll give up a second-round draft pick for a guy that stunk with the Jets. That's what the Carolina Panthers did. And we can look at the team that the Patriots just defeated on Thursday Night Football. I'm not telling you that Matt Ryan is a bad quarterback or anything along those lines. He's fine. He's a good player in this league. He's a former MVP. But he's not on that same level as the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady type. And I would even put Dak Prescott in the conversation the way that he's been playing this year and prior to the injury last year. He's not going to lift up and carry your organization. When the right pieces are around him, sure, he can be really good. Like, for example, if he was playing for the Patriots right now, Matt Ryan would be having a really good season. Or if he was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he'd be having a really good season. But the problem is right now, that Atlanta team isn't good in terms of the people around him. Now, Calvin Ridley, that's a whole different situation because of what's going on with him. He had to leave because of issues in terms of his mental health. So you understand that. And unfortunately, that's one of their best two weapons, him and Kyle Pitts, the rookie. But who does Matt Ryan have to throw the ball to? Kyle Pitts, that's it. We saw the other night on Thursday Night Football, Bill wasn't going to let Kyle Pitts beat him. He complimented him like crazy, comparing him to Julio Jones and Tony Gonzalez. You knew that that guy was going to do nothing against the Patriots, and that's the only guy Matt Ryan had to throw to, not to mention the fact he has no offensive line. So my point about Matt Ryan is this. You weren't going anywhere with Matt Ryan in the near future. Your roster in Atlanta wasn't nearly good enough to do that. So what they did is they misevaluated the timeline of their organization. They needed to start over. So at number four, as I mentioned with Patrick Surtain, or if you think about a J.C. Horn, who the Panthers took with their first-round pick, those guys may be really good players, just like Kyle Pitts may be a great tight end. He may be the best tight end in the NFL next season. But the reality is they still don't have a trigger man for the future. They have Matt Ryan for now, but they're not going to be able to rebuild quickly enough. So you can say, yeah, okay, it was easy for Bill to take the quarterback when he did. Yeah, but all these other teams, all these other organizations didn't make the right decision. And Bill Belichick did make the right decision. He deserves credit for that. Now, in terms of the reset year, getting back to it for a second here, did he overhaul his defense, Bill Belichick? Because the defense last year, let's be real, it sucked. It wasn't good. Coming off the boogeyman defense the year before that faded in the second half of the season, the defense last year just really wasn't good. They couldn't stop the run whatsoever. Of course, Gilmore was dealing with injuries. You had no pass rush whatsoever. From a talent perspective, that was not a good defense a year ago. Okay. Well, did Bill overhaul the defense in this reset year, if you will? Let's start with Matthew Judon. He's been pretty damn good for the Patriots. 35 pressures on the season. That's third in the NFL behind only Harold Landry of the Titans and Myles Garrett. He has 10.5 sacks on the season. That's third in the NFL behind TJ Watt and Myles Garrett. He has 11 tackles for loss. That is fourth in the NFL behind only Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, and Nick Bosa. So you get the point, right? Matthew Judon has been a legitimate, bona fide defensive player of the year candidate. And by the way, just a quick aside, I have to give Fourier credit for this because Fourier said at the beginning of the season, before the season began, I should say, he said that the ceiling for Matthew Judon was defensive player of the year and the floor was all pro. Now, when Fourier said this, I thought he was absolutely insane because Matthew Judon had never been an all pro before. So he was essentially saying that his floor was something he's never done in his NFL career. But I have to give Fourier credit. He's right on this one. His ceiling is defensive player of the year, and his floor is all pro. He's going to be an all pro, or he's going to be the defensive player of the year. And he's got a really good case to be the defensive player of the year right now, especially if this Patriots defense continues to perform the way that it's performed. Think about this for a second. The Patriots defense over the past three games, they have scored 13 points. They have given up 13. That's how good the Patriots defense has been over the past couple of weeks. But just getting back to the whole thing about Matthew Judon, I can't remember. I can't think of an example of this. I asked Mutt the other night if he had an example of this because it's something that we rarely see in the NFL. I don't know if we've ever seen it. Has an executive, and Bill is an executive as well. We all know that he's picking the players, etc. Has an executive in the NFL ever drafted his franchise quarterback and signed a defensive player of the year candidate in the same offseason? I cannot recall that ever happening in the history of the NFL. And Bill Belichick, who has been criticized, and I'm not saying he didn't deserve criticism for some of the poor drafts recently, but Bill Belichick in the same offseason, after being criticized and fairly criticized for poor draft selections, has anybody ever done what he just did this past offseason? Draft a quarterback that is going to be your quarterback for the next decade as a franchise caliber player and sign a defensive player of the year candidate in the offseason. Never seen that happen in the history of the NFL. Now, if I'm missing somebody, educate me, because I can't think of this ever happening in the league before. But anyway, the other thing that Belichick and company deserve credit for, to a lesser extent, Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo, the defensive staff, they deserve credit because this was not a guarantee with Matthew Judon. They projected that the player would do this when he got to the Patriots, right? You think about it from this perspective. The most pressures that Judon ever had in his career before this season, 36. That was back in 2018. So as I mentioned, he has 35 already this season. So he's one away from his personal record in terms of pressures in 10 games. He's going to break that next week when they play the Tennessee Titans. After 11 games, he will have the most pressures he's ever had in his NFL career. Okay, in terms of sacks, he already beat his career high. His career high coming into this season was 9.5. He's 10 games into his Patriots career. He has 10.5 sacks. He's already beaten his personal best, if you will. Most tackles for loss is 17. As we mentioned, 11 so far this season. He should beat that. Second best is 14. At worst, he's going to get the second best total of his career. I would predict, based on the way that he's played, he's going to beat that. But nonetheless, 4 years, $54.5 million in terms of the contract. 32 was guaranteed, $13.6 million per season. So the first step of improving this defense in the reset year, you got the quarterback, then it was about the defense, you got the game wrecker. And clearly, you found the game record to build your whole defense around in terms of Matthew Judon. Secondarily, in terms of Belichick's defense this year, how he turned this around was, and we've seen this more so in recent weeks, is the selection of Christian Barmore. Barmore has been absolutely incredible for this team, especially the past 4 weeks or so, where if you look at it, since that Jets game, he's played at least 63% of the snaps in all those games, and it's over 70% in a couple of them. And this is a guy in his rookie season that is now getting double teamed. So Christian Barmore, as a rookie defensive lineman, is actually making the players around him better by eating up double teams. And I'm not comparing the players, and I'm not saying he's going to have this type of career, and they're different players. But this is what Vince Wilfork did for so many years, where he got double teamed. And yeah, he just like Barmore, he didn't have the statistical output, if you will, that some of the pass rushers like Judon's having, but he had a massive impact because he was eating up. Two guys needed to block the guy, and now we're seeing that with Christian Barmore in his rookie season. And this is a guy that coming out of the collegiate level, there were question marks about him, right? Because he really came on in his final season there at Alabama. He wanted to quit football at one point. So there were questions about how much does this guy want to play? Is this a risky draft pick? Bill traded up to select this guy in the second round, and clearly it's worked out. So those are the two big adds in terms of the offseason with the defense. It was Barmore and, of course, Matthew Judon, and we've already seen the difference that those two guys have made this season, and we've seen the difference that it has made on the defense in totality. It's not just the individual output of Matthew Judon and the fact that Barmore is getting double-teamed. It's the fact that this Patriots defense is now giving up just 16 points a game, which is second in the NFL, and these guys have played a major role in it. Now, of course, the other big part of the defense is J.C. Jackson. Six interceptions now in the season. That's second behind Diggs of the Cowboys, of course. He has a 40.7 quarterback rating against. That is first among players who've been targeted at least 50 times. First, okay? His opponent's completion percentage is 50%. That's fourth among players targeted at least 50 times. So we can get into the semantics about how the Gilmore thing was handled. I still don't agree with how Bill got rid of Gilmore. I do believe that he completely mismanaged the asset going back to last season. So if you think about it from this perspective, if he leaves Carolina, the Carolina Panthers are actually going to get a better draft pick in terms of the compensatory pick than the Patriots are going to get for trading him, right? They got a fifth round pick. So when you look at it from that angle and all this, he managed the asset poorly. But one thing I do think that we have to give Bill credit for, and by the way, I would have just traded him last year. Because getting back to this whole theme of the reset year, I would have just traded him last year. If you didn't think you were going anywhere last year, right? If you didn't think you were going anywhere last year, why wouldn't you just move on from the player? Because Bill asked for too much at the deadline, right? He wanted a first-round pick and a player. You could have gotten a second-round pick for Gilmore, and you would have been much better off in the long term, right? But anyway, just getting back to the original point, the one thing that he does deserve credit for, that's Bill. The thing about Jackson is this. Bill was right about him being a number one corner because you can't move on from Gilmore if you don't think you have a legitimate bona fide number one corner. And we question that coming into the season, right? Because everybody points to that Monday night game last season. Remember that Monday night game where Stephon Diggs ate J.C. Jackson alive? Well, now we're finding out that J.C. Jackson, okay, yeah, he wasn't ready for it at that point in time, but clearly he's ready for it now. And Bill had to take that into consideration. So, yeah, we can knock him for the value he got for Gilmore. And I would. I still think that was a dumb trade in terms of what he got back. But he was right about the evaluation of J.C. Jackson. He is a legitimate number one corner. And the thing that's terrifying about Jackson, and it must be for the opposition, is he's basically a receiver when the ball's in the air. So not only is he proven to be a great coverage guy, I gave you the numbers, completion percentage against, quarterback rating against, best in the NFL. I gave you those numbers. But he's also really dangerous because he turns you over, which he is really unbelievable when the ball's in the air. The other thing in terms of the reset year that this team needed to do. So they got the quarterback. They improved the defense with the Barmores, with the Judons. And, of course, J.C. Jackson has taken another step forward. So those are two parts of the reset. The third part of the reset was the offensive upgrades around the quarterback. Have they done that yet? So we talked about Mac, but they wanted to be a run-heavy team. Well, the first few weeks, the line was not good. And it really now has started to come together, I would say, over the past month, five games or so. And the biggest development as of late is the fact that you now have a two-headed monster. You look at Ramondre Stevenson, last two games, 32 carries, 169 yards. Do the math, 5.2 yards per carry. He's been really good. So we saw in that Browns game, if Harris can't play, no problem. Because, quite frankly, Stevenson's a more versatile player. He has better hands. So just to recap, the draft. Bill got his franchise quarterback at 15. He got a monster on the D-line in Barmore that he traded up for in the second round. And in the fourth round, he got a running back that, since he figured out his fumble issues, he's been an absolute monster. So, and the other big offensive upgrade, I would say, is Hunter Henry. You didn't have a tight end, essentially, on this roster since Rob Gronkowski. We would all, last year, they didn't have anybody at that position, right? But you look at Henry, and he doesn't overwhelm you in terms of the volume. 33 catches, 378 yards. You think, yeah, I mean, that's not great numbers. But it's the importance of the catches he actually has. So his catch percentage, by the way, 73.3%, which is the best of his career. So him and Mac clearly have really good chemistry on the field. 33 grabs on 45 targets. Really good. Incredibly efficient. Now, how about this? 7 touchdowns on the season. That's 5th in the NFL. It leads all tight ends. He also has 22 first downs. So if you look at it, 29 of his 33 receptions have gone for either first down or have gone for either first downs or touchdowns. So 87.8% of his receptions are touchdowns or first downs. That tells you the importance. So yeah, he's not going to have 1,000 yards, but all his receptions have been important. And the biggest thing is he's given the rookie quarterback a safety blanket. We can all agree on that. He knows where to go on third down. He knows where to go in the red zone. And we get caught up in some of the misses, the Aguilars, the Jonnu Smith contract, and we'll see if Jonnu Smith can turn it around. But Hunter Henry has been a hit, and so has Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne leads this team with 562 receiving yards, 51.1 yards per game. And the most important thing about Bourne is this, 256 yards after the catch this season. No other Patriots receiver is over 200 in terms of yards after the catch. Now, Bolden as a running back is, he's at 238, but that's different. Running backs, they pile up yak yards because they're catching the ball so close, a lot of times behind the line of scrimmage, right? The next closest on this team in terms of yards after the catch is Jonnu Smith at 180. I still think there's something there with Smith because he averages 8.5 yards after the catch. That's 4th in the NFL. I still think there's something there, and I believe they're going to find it at some point, but so far he's been a disappointment. But Bourne, 7.1 yards after the catch. That's 13th among qualified receivers. So this was, again, you have to give Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels to a lesser extent credit because they saw this in the player. He was a guy that this wasn't a proven entity. This wasn't like you were signing some stud that has had a great NFL career. It's like the fourth option for the Niners last year. He's been over 600 receiving yards one time in his career. And as we mentioned, he's already at 566. His career high, 667, but that was on 74 targets. He caught just 66.2% of passes that year. This year, on 47 targets, he's at 562. That's 78.7. So he's catching, his catch rate has gone up 11% since he came to the Patriots. They got him for 3 years and 15 mil. His cap hit is 3 mil this year, 5.6 next year, 6.1 the year after that. He's been the perfect fit with Mac, because if you look at Mac, he's throwing the ball down the field more over the past couple of weeks. I thought he got a little greedy on that Thursday night game where he was looking for Jonnu Smith and he just kind of threw into double coverage because he was really feeling it at that particular point in time. It felt like he got a little greedy there, but he has thrown the ball down the field a little bit more as of late. But in totality this season, he's at about 7.6 intended air yards per attempt, which that means he's not really throwing the ball down the field much. That's 24th in the NFL amongst qualified quarterbacks. So this offense, it isn't meant for the quarterback to throw the ball down the field a ton. But what it does do, what you need, I should say, with those type of players, or with Mac and with this offensive scheme, you need yak guys, right? Guys that can make plays after the catch. That's what you need with this type of offense. And what we've seen with Kendrick Bourne, that's the type of player he is. He's been incredible. As I told you, 13th in the NFL in yards after the catch per reception. He leads the Patriots in yak yards. He's been incredible for this team. So in terms of finding the perfect type of player to go in this offense, Kendrick Bourne is that. The Patriots have always had, now, he's not in the same category as these guys, but they've always had yak monsters, the Edelmans, the Welkers of the world, and Kendrick Bourne has done sort of some of that same stuff. So just to recap, the reset year that Bill Belichick had last year when he alluded to it with Charlie Weiss and everybody mocked him in the media for saying it, this is what Bill Belichick has done over the past year and change. He drafted a franchise quarterback. He rebuilt his defense behind a Defensive Player of the Year candidate in Matthew Judon and a rookie in Christian Barmore that's been absolutely tremendous over the past month or so. And he went out and he got offensive weapons in Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne that have helped the development of the quarterback and helped the team get to a 7-4 spot. So in terms of the reset year, if you go back and you listen to those comments from Bill Belichick, does it seem that crazy now that he said this team needed to reset? Because as they reset last year, look what he did in the offseason. I don't know how you can argue at this point in time for anybody else in the NFL to be the executive of the year. How could you argue anybody else? This guy was able to go out, this guy, Bill Belichick was able to go out there. He got the Defensive Player of the Year candidate and his quarterback in the same offseason, not to mention a tight end that leads all tight ends in receiving touchdowns this year, the way that Kendrick Bourne has been able to play. So Bill Belichick deserves to be the executive of the year, and maybe we get to revisit those comments and say, okay, maybe Bill was onto something when he made those comments. Maybe this is what he realized he needed to do. Look, I'm not defending his drafts from 15 to 19. Nobody can do that. But two things can be true. We can look at that stretch and say, okay, Bill did poorly in the draft those years. But you also have to acknowledge the fact that he just had one of the best off seasons in the history of the NFL. There's no way around it. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. So a lot on the table. So if you want to weigh in on where the Patriots are at right now in terms of their 7-4 record, was Bill right about the reset year? And is Bill getting close to being vindicated for the decision to move on from Tom Brady? We'll get into all that in just a little bit. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
For nearly 30 years, the home of the Boston sports fan. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Celtics getting set for a back-to-back. They'll host the Thunder tonight, 7:30 tip. Jaylen Brown, he's going to miss his eighth straight game. He's dealing with a hamstring strain. Robert Williams, doubtful with left knee tendinopathy. The Seas are coming off that 130-108 win over the Lakers on Friday night. Jason Tatum, 37 in that one. The Bees get the Flyers in Philly tonight. Puck drops at 7. The Black and Gold have won 3 of 4. They haven't played since that 5-2 win over the Canadiens last Sunday. I don't know what's going on with the NHL schedule, but that makes no sense to me whatsoever. Meanwhile, the Pats, we were just talking about them. They get Sunday off after that emphatic 25-0 win over the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. Bill Belichick and company will get some extra time to get ready for the Titans on November 26th. BC fell to Florida State this afternoon. You heard it right here on WEI, 26-23. The Eagles will host Wake Forest next Saturday. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, so the Patriots are 7-4, rolling right now after they beat the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. Now the difficult part of the Patriots schedule comes up when you're going to play the Titans. You get the Bills in the mix, and then you get the Bills again. You get the Bills twice in a three-week period, essentially. So huge games coming up for the Patriots, but they're in a good spot right now, sitting there at 7-4. So going forward now, with Mac Jones in the fold, with Matthew Judon, with Hunter Henry, is Bill getting close to vindication for the Brady decision? 617-779-7937, the number. So just for a second here, if you look at it, here's the problem if Brady was still here. Now, look, Bill Belichick got himself into this position because he didn't put a good enough roster around Tom. I understand that. Like, Bill was not good in the last 4 years as an executive with Tom. That's clear. The N'Keal Harry pick is a perfect example. He's, like, right now a blocking receiver. In fact, Pro Football Focus has him as the second-best blocking receiver in the NFL. Congratulations. That's not what you're drafting in the first round. So I understand that the roster is really bad when Tom was at the end here. But if you brought Tom back, if Tom was still in the fold, what does this roster look like? So if you think of, and Tom clearly made the right decision. He went to Tampa, he went to a great team, and he won a Super Bowl, and he recruited guys to go there with him. All the credit in the world for Tom. He's proven he was right to go to Tampa. But if you think about it, if Tom was still here, so they moved some money around this year to Tampa. They gave him like an extension. So he's $10.5 million cap hit this year. And then in 2022, it's 16.9. You juxtapose that to Mac, he's at 2.8 this year, 3.5 next year, 4.2, then 4.9. That's what Mac Jones is going to make over the next 4 years, which I'll get into that in greater detail, what it means going forward for the Patriots. But anyway, if you look at it, you have Hunter Henry at $6.8 million this year, Judon at 6.3. J.C. Jackson's going to they're going to have to pay him next year in terms of the offseason. They're either going to tag him or give him a big contract. So either way, J.C. Jackson's getting a big raise in the 2022 season. So if, say, hypothetically, Brady's still here, you probably would have just been able to sign Jonnu Smith. Remember, he's the first guy you signed, so then you miss out on Hunter Henry. Are you able to get Matthew Judon? Do you have the cap space to be able to get him if Brady's still part of the equation. And the other thing you have to actually look at in terms of the Brady decision is this. Well, now with Mac, and I'm not saying he's ever going to be Tom Brady, or he may never be a top three, top five quarterback in the NFL, but he's at least a franchise caliber quarterback, right? So if you just look at it from that perspective, you're now set up for the next decade. With Tom, you weren't winning in 2020. And if you enter this offseason, who knows who you can pay? You're probably not a Super Bowl contender that year either, or at least you're not the favorite. Like, you're a Super Bowl contender with Tom this year. You're not the favorite, just like you're not the favorite right now with Mac, but it's the future. You've now opened the door for more time to win Super Bowls now that Mac Jones is in the fold and not Brady. And the other thing about Mac now is you're not going to have $70 million every year in the offseason in terms of salary cap space. But with Mac and those low numbers I allude to in terms of the salary cap space, Bill Belichick can go out and spend a lot of money over the next 4 years in free agency. And we've seen this in the NFL before. If you look at the last 11 Super Bowl champions, last 11, four of them were Tom Brady, right? Other than that, you had the Packers with Rodgers on a rookie contract, the Ravens with Flacco on a rookie contract, the Seahawks with Wilson on a rookie contract. Heck, when the Eagles won their Super Bowl, it was with Carson Wentz, and of course Nick Foles took over, but Wentz was on a rookie contract, Foles is on a backup. The Chiefs, when they won their Super Bowl, Mahomes is on his rookie deal. So all those quarterbacks that have recently won Super Bowls, that's all different quarterbacks. It's five different guys all won it on the rookie contracts. This is a way, this is a proven way in the NFL to win Super Bowls. Even Rodgers, Wilson, those guys have never won a Super Bowl since getting their contract. Brady's a totally different category. Brady won multiple times getting, now, not that he was the highest paid guy, but he was still making a good amount of money. I know he always took less, but he's still making good money. Manning won in 15. Eli Manning won in, what was that, 2011? So those guys won Super Bowls getting the big contracts. But other than that, it's been these teams with guys on their rookie contracts. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Ralph in Cranston. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Brian. You know, it's funny. 5 weeks ago, everyone was doubting Belichick. Is he too old? Has he lost it? Look what he's done. Now, of course, he's back to being the genius. You know, he never had to be vindicated, Brian. This guy, people like him, as I've said before, and Auerbach and John Wooden and so many, Vince Lombardi, they've won so much in their time that, you know, they could be forgiven for a couple of bad years or a couple of bad drafts. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest things is many players as he brought on, and this I think was planned. I really think he planned the whole thing. You got to get lucky in the draft, but this would not have happened if he kept Brady. Brady left because he didn't want him, Brian. Let's be honest. He could have made that happen. He could have given him the amount he wanted, let his trainer stay on the bench. He didn't want it. He didn't want to do it. And now, you know, is there anyone, as much as I'm a gigantic Brady fan, is there anyone out there today, and you made all the points, Brian, that was fantastic, how much he's going to make and everything, Mac, over the next few years. Is there anyone out there that's been crying about Brady for a couple of years? And Brady went to a perfect, you were right there, he went to a perfect team for him. Is there anyone that would rather have a 44-year-old Brady back here and not Mac Jones? Because you wouldn't have Mac Jones. Brady probably would have got him in the playoffs last year. That's how bad Cam was. Yeah. But is there anyone out there that would switch right now? Salary for salary, age for age? I mean, you'd have to be a fool.
I wouldn't, Ralph.
That
because
was one of his biggest things, letting him go.
Yeah, Ralph, I wouldn't, because if you look at it now, Belichick and company, they've opened it up for the next decade or so where they can be contenders again. With Brady, it was going to be a short shelf life. And we mentioned the roster and the bad drafts recently. They weren't going to win anything significantly with Brady a season ago. We saw what happened or what transpired in 2019. So I understand how difficult it is to watch Brady win with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But for the long-term sustainability of the organization, it was a tough decision, but it was the right decision to move on from Tom when they did.
And we're seeing it was brilliant. Look at where it is, especially the cap space they're going to have the next couple of years. Everything's turning out exactly like we wanted it to happen.
Well, and Ralph,
and now we have that quarterback for the next 12 years.
Yeah, and Ralph, that's when you look at it. So say Jonnu Smith never works out. I still have hope with Jonnu Smith, but say that never works out. Say the Aguilar is probably never going to work out, but he's only on a 2-year deal. It doesn't hurt you that much because you're not paying the quarterback anything.
Yeah.
So you can take, and I appreciate the call, Ralph, but that's the great thing about this is you can take so many shots on guys. Like, the Seahawks did it a million times. They took chances on guys all the time. They traded for Percy Harvin. That guy was crazy. They did that stuff all the time. The Eagles did it. Look at what the Eagles did when they won their Super Bowl with Nick Foles, who took over for Carson Wentz. Foles is making nothing. Wentz is on a rookie contract. Look how many guys they paid on that D-line. Remember, they took Chris Long back after he was on the Patriots. They gave Fletcher Cox big money. They went out there and they spent a ton of money in terms of Alshon Jeffrey. They traded for him. They gave him big money. And they could afford to pay all these guys because they weren't paying their quarterbacks. So unless you have Brady, unless you have Manning, this seems like it's a more likely formula to win. And I know that Pat Mahomes is a great quarterback, but remember, his last two seasons, he went to the Super Bowl, 19 and 20. You do realize that he was on his rookie contract. He just started his big contract now. And what have we seen from the Chiefs this season? Now, they looked really good last night, or last weekend, rather, on Sunday Night Football against the Raiders, rather. But guess what? They don't have Sammy Watkins anymore. That third weapon they were paying $17 million, they can't do it anymore because they're paying their quarterback. Let's get to Steve. He's in Holyoke. What's up, Steve?
Hi, Brian.
Hey.
I just wanted to echo what you've been saying and the caller. But I want to show a little bit more perspective that I'm not going to mention any names, but there's TV personalities that put Bill down for his bad general managership. But I just wanted to say that if you look, he's rebuilt the team inside of like 3 or 4 months. I mean, COVID, last year was Brady-less and a COVID bridge year where he just threw Cam in there to get through the year. And now here we are this year. You got like Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami have been rebuilding for 25 years.
Yeah.
And they're still rebuilding.
Well,
they're
Steve, look at this. Teams had a chance to rebuild this offseason. The Broncos passed on a quarterback. The Panthers passed on a quarterback. The Falcons passed on a quarterback. Bill took one.
Right. And also, there's 32 teams, so you could virtually say there's probably another 20 teams that have been rebuilding since Brady came into the league. And they haven't. And Buffalo's been rebuilding. And what did they do? They get to the playoffs and they got knocked out in the first round after rebuilding for 25 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, they made it to I appreciate the call, Steve. They made it to the AFC title game a year ago. I mean, Buffalo's in a good spot right now, though they lost a couple of weeks ago to the Jaguars. It does feel like every team in the AFC has that bad loss. Like, of course, the Patriots week one, Dolphins, Ravens recently lost to the Dolphins, the Titans lost to the Jets. Like, everybody in the AFC has that type of loss right now. So I'm not going to hold that against Buffalo. We'll see when those, I can't wait till those teams match. The Patriots have such massive games coming up. You get the Titans, 1 o'clock game next Sunday. I wish that was later on, but CBS didn't want to move it. But anyway, getting back to your original point, the Patriots, we're not going to have to deal with those eight announcers. Remember that on CBS a couple of weeks ago? I mean, the one dude, what was his name? Adam Archuleta or something. He alluded to the fact that, who was it? Jacoby Myers was Mac's number one red zone threat when at that point he still hadn't had a touchdown yet. Like, we're not going to have to deal with that anymore. We get Ian Eagle coming up, who's my favorite guy, by the way, anyway, to begin with in terms of the NFL guys. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Wayne. He's in South Boston. Wayne, what's up, man? I haven't heard from you in a while.
What's going on, Brian, buddy? I was just going to say, I haven't heard from you in a while. I've been a little busy, you know what I mean? But my Patriots is all that I'm worried. I'm so psyched right now because I called it at the beginning of the season. I said 10-6 was going to be their record, and Fourier laughed at me and Lou laughed at me. So I called them the other night to remind them, hey, boys, because Lou was like, oh, I'm going to say 10-6. I said, yeah, that's 10 weeks into it. I said it at the beginning of the season because I'm a real Patriot fan. I love my team. Now let's talk about this real quick, Brian.
Yep.
Mac, right now, right? Mac is at 96.7 accuracy when he passes. Okay, that's one thing. Number two.
He's what? He's at what?
96.7, his accuracy.
What are you talking about?
When he's on passes. His accuracy on passes.
His completion percentage is like set. Oh, you're talking about like his catchable ball rate or something? I don't know.
He's
third in the NFL over 70% in terms of his completion percentage.
Listen, you know what makes me happy? When I turn on the NFL channel and the girl who's doing the host there, Kay Adams, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's talking about saying, oh, I was so happy when Brady left and the Patriots. I knew I'm going to get at least 5 years of them, you know, trying to build their team, rebuild their team. And then she goes, but she goes, nope, it won't happen because in 1 year, Tom Belichick has come in and rebuilt this whole team, and now they're going to be going to another Super Bowl. And she started crying, and I was like,
wait, she was crying on the air?
Yeah, she was like a little chair coming down her eye. All right. What about this, with Mac? Patriots have outscored their opponents in the last five games 125 points.
Yeah, well, Wayne.
And they have the best defense in the league.
You know, the defense in the past 3 weeks has scored 13. The opponents have scored 13.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We've got the best defense. They said in the last 5 weeks, Patriots have the best defense going right now.
Yeah.
And nobody, and their number one saying is, by the way, nobody wants to play the Pats right now.
Yeah, Wayne, I'm with you. I appreciate the call, man. Good hearing from you. There is that team that it feels like every year in the NFL, people say, yeah, you don't want to play them. I really, truly believe nobody wants to play the Patriots right now. You got to go up against a really good defense, and then playing that offense is not fun, right? Because you got to deal with those guys coming off and just teeing you up in terms of the offensive line right now. You can tell. I mean, this run game has become way more diverse, and now the fact that you have not just Harris, but the emergence of Stevenson right now, it's going to be an awfully difficult offense to go up against. Now, I still wonder about this, and we haven't really seen this, is what happens when, say, it's the fourth quarter and the Patriots are down 10 and they know you have to pass the ball. And I like Hunter Henry a lot. I like Kendrick Bourne a lot. But it does still feel like this team lacks that legitimate, bona fide number one receiver. Like, the Patriots need to win on their schedule. We're in the beginning of the Mac Jones era. I'm not telling you that he's never going to be able to do this. I just wonder right now if the Patriots have the artillery and the weaponry to come back in a game like that. Now, when they're controlling things and when they're within a score, they're all set because they can do multiple things offensively, and we know what the defense has been so far this season. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. So on the table all night, is Bill getting close to being vindicated for Brady leaving the organization? Also, can the Patriots win the AFC this year? I believe they can. I'll tell you why in just a little bit here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI. I
seem to recognize. All right, with you until 617-779-7937, the number. Is Bill getting close to vindication for moving on from Tom Brady? Also on the table, are the Patriots legitimate contenders to come out of the AFC? So you look at the schedule. They have Tennessee at home a week from Sunday. Then they go to Buffalo. That's a Monday night game. That's going to be crazy. Then they get the bye week. And that at Indy, decent team in Buffalo at home. That stretch, you got to win two out of those four. Ideally, you'd like to win three or four. Well, ideally, you'd like to win all four. But if you at least get two of those games, you feel pretty good about where the Patriots are at in terms of the playoff aspirations. Then you finish out the season with Jacksonville and with Miami. But that four-game stretch, Tennessee, Buffalo, Indy, Buffalo, is when we really find out, hey, are the Patriots taking a step forward? They've clearly taken a step forward as an organization. And I would be shocked at this particular point if they don't make it into the postseason. But that's when we really find out how good is this Patriots team going up against teams like that. And you look at it, Tennessee does not have Derrick Henry. They don't have Julio Jones. Buffalo has not been the same level of offense as it was a season ago. And Indy, of course, their quarterback's Carson Wentz. So it's not like any of those games are impossible for the Patriots to win. And right now, Tennessee is the top team in the AFC. And that's not exactly a team that scares you, especially without two of their best players. And Julio Jones, I guess you could say one of their best players, but he's really never gotten anything going this year because he's been dealing with all these injuries like we've seen the past few years with Julio. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Louie in Fall River. What's up, Louie?
How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, this is what I got. And Belichick, every time he gets a quarterback, you know, he gets them from the draft. He does good. They all get jobs. They're millionaires, right? Now, if they can beat Tennessee, they'll beat all these good – the ones you just said, Tennessee, Buffalo, they'll beat them. But they won't beat Jacksonville, and they're not going to beat Miami. They always have a problem with those – the teams that can't – that they should win.
What are you talking about? You think they're going to have trouble with Jacksonville?
Yeah, you know,
have you seen Jacksonville play, Louis? They suck.
No, but they always have a problem beating the teams they should beat. You know what I mean? Like they'll beat Tennessee.
What do you mean, like the Jets when they beat them 54-13, or Carolina when they beat them 24-6?
Yeah, that's the way it should be. You're right.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Miami, they always lose against Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, Louis. But I wouldn't put Miami. I appreciate the phone call. I wouldn't put Miami in the same category as Jacksonville. The Patriots, even with Brady, historically have had trouble going down to Miami and playing that team. I understand that point. But Jacksonville? The Patriots are going to have trouble with Jacksonville? I don't understand that one. The other thing that I'm looking forward to in this Titans game is the Belichick-Vrabel matchup. Because remember, Vrabel got him a couple of years ago in the postseason. Vrabel's an outstanding coach. No disputing that whatsoever. But remember what Vrabel did to Bill? He took Bill's move and used it on him. Remember what Bill did against the Jets that year in 2019 where he was taking the delay of games to take time off the clock in terms of when he was punting the football back to the Jets, and then Vrabel did the same thing to him, and then they took the penalty so that they could take time off the clock. Vrabel actually did that to Bill in the postseason, so Bill's going to want to get Vrabel back. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Frank. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Bill. How you doing? I just wanted to say, you know, for us as Patriots fan, when we watched Tampa Bay and we watched eventually Tom go away, that's going to be what we would have had. Obviously, we don't, thank God. But I also wonder, you know, I know that...
Wait, hold on, Frank. Let me go back to that for a second. You mean like when Tom leaves, the Bucs are going to suck, is your point?
Yeah, they're going to suck, and that's what we would have been.
Oh, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, because if they didn't move on from Brady, they wouldn't have drafted Mac this year. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah.
No, so it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, I like Brady. I love Brady, so I want to see him win. But whatever. But... Well, it'd be fun to watch as a Patriots fan what we could have been. But let me ask you this. You know, basically, I see that the national media's got to come down on the Patriots one way or the other, right? So, of course, they're going to pick on Mac Jones. They're going to pick on the long ball, right? So what we need to do is have the new Edelman, the new, you know, Welker. Who's that going to be? Because that's really where I see this guy going.
Yeah, well, Frank, could you imagine if Edelman was healthy, how good he would be with Mac?
No, I know, but we need that. We need the new Edelman, I think, unless I'm wrong, because the long ball is a little dicey, and that's what I see the national media is going to start harping on him for, unfortunately.
It's a fair point, Frank. I appreciate the phone call. When I look at it in terms of the closest thing they have to Edelman, and maybe Kendrick Bourne, the way he plays, but he's not that prototypical slot receiver like Edelman or Welker or like Troy Brown was back in the day. They don't have that type of player. They don't. But they're getting away with Hunter Henry as Max outlet guy, right? He's his bailout guy on third down and in the red zone. And Kendrick Bourne is doing a lot of the yards after the catch stuff, 256 yards after the catch so far in the season. But to answer your original question about do they have Edelman or somebody close to Edelman, no. Which really does suck because Edelman would have been so good in this offense with Mac Jones because it's a lot of the short passing stuff. I mean, he would have had incredible numbers with Mac. Let's get to Ray in Rhode Island. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Brian? So I just have a couple quick points. First, to answer your question, I think he's getting there as being, you know, vindicated for letting Brady go. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, in the past, there have been quarterbacks who have, you know, broke out in the rookie year and then kind of leveled off after that. But I think Mac Jones has passed the eye test. You can see that he's very poised and just he could be our guy for the next 10 years. So to answer your question, I think he's
And Ray, it's a good point because I do think there was, for example, the Carolina game and the Chargers game. Mac did not play particularly well in either one of those games, and the defenses made an adjustment. They were putting basically 8 men in the box more than 40% of the time in both those games. Cleveland did the same thing, and Mac shredded him. So he plateaued, and then he took a step forward after that plateau, and credit Josh McDaniels and et cetera for making adjustments. But they had an issue offensively, and they were able to fix it.
Right, and you never feel like – I feel like you're never going to be out of a game with Mac under center. You know, like I think – you know, look at the Houston game. We were down whatever points it was, and, you know, great play calling, but he was able to lead that comeback, you know. And then just my final point, and then I'll get out of here. But I just got to say, man, you are great at what you do. I love listening to you. Like, your preparation for this job is incredible. And as someone that wants to be in Boston sports media one day, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, you are great.
Oh, but, thanks, man. I appreciate night, man. It. Appreciate the kind words. I'll make sure I send that over to the boss. Appreciate it, though. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. So the other thing, too, is when I look at the AFC, and I'll get into these teams in greater detail, it felt like for so long there was always that Death Star, if you will. It was the Patriots, or it was the Manning Colts, or it was the Manning Broncos. And most recently, it's been the Kansas City Chiefs, who have been to back-to-back Super Bowls. Does anybody feel like there's a team in the AFC that cannot be beaten in the postseason? I know technically anybody can be beaten, right? The 07 Patriots lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. I understand that. But you were shocked when that happened. Is there any team in the AFC that you look at right now and say, well, that team can't be beat? Or I'd be shocked if Pat Mahomes loses. I'd be shocked if Ryan Tannehill and the Titans lose. I'd be shocked if Josh Allen loses. I don't see any team like that in the AFC right now. Let's get to Matt. He's in Rhode Island. Matt, what's up, man?
Oh, yeah, I echo that last caller's sentiments about your show, as I've called it many times. But on Belichick, I would say, like, the harder you work, the luckier you get, which is obviously Belichick is the best NFL coach of all time, in my opinion. But listen, let's be honest. He did get lucky in this situation. Not having any backup plan for Brady and letting the white whale go, you know, to get a player like Mac, you know, and surround him by these players in this defense, you know, he is vindicated as far as I'm concerned. However, I do think he needs to add one more Super Bowl to the belt to, like, go all the way with it, you know. And what I will say is these next couple games, I mean, this is no joke. I mean, they're going right into the big time games here. And I just love Grable. I know he's not scared to bring his team up here. I mean, it's going to be a real test, but it's exciting. And New England Patriot football is exciting this year. And that's what everyone should, you know, be focused on. And it's just, you know, just one week at a time. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Bye.
All right. Great stuff, Matt, as always. His line's open at 617-779-7937. And one thing, getting back to his point about the Patriots football being good again, it was awesome. And look, I'm not telling you that this is some unbelievable achievement, but you knew going into Thursday night you were going to win. Look, the Falcons are a crappy football team, but did you feel that way at all last year going into any game? You're back to being a team that you expect to win. If a team is anywhere near inferior to you, you expect to win. Heck, I expected the Patriots to beat the Browns. Did you expect the Carolina Panthers to give the Patriots a game? I didn't. You're back to that level with the Patriots right now. And by the way, I know that this came out, like, during the draft, and I bought into it a little bit at the time. Like, hey, if Bill really liked Mac, would he even trade it up for him? So you think about it. Off the board, number one was Trevor Lawrence. So you knew that was going to happen. The Jets took Zach Wilson, number two, and Trey Lance went number three to San Francisco. So after Atlanta had basically made it clear they're sticking with Matt Ryan, you knew they weren't taking a quarterback, right? They were going with Kyle Pitts. Cincinnati already had its quarterback in Joe Burrow, so they were taking Ja'Marr Chase. Miami took two of the year prior. Now, maybe they should have taken a quarterback, but you knew that was not going to be a quarterback spot. Detroit traded for Goff, and apparently they didn't want to take a quarterback. They made that clear that they were going to give Goff an opportunity for a year, so they weren't going to do it. Okay, then when Carolina trades for Sam Darnold, you know that Carolina's not taking a quarterback. Then it's Denver, and for some reason, remember that story came out on draft day about Aaron Rodgers? Denver, Mark Schlereth reported, Denver thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers. So maybe that altered their thinking process, because that is a team that should have taken a quarterback. Philadelphia had committed to Jalen Hurts, and they had only liked the top two quarterbacks, only liked Lawrence and Wilson. That was, like, their whole thing. Unless they get one of those guys, they're going with Hurts for at least a year. Chicago moves up. They take Justin Fields. Okay, so that was a potential quarterback spot that you would have needed to trade up for if you wanted Fields. But clearly the Patriots didn't want Fields. So then Chicago, you know they're not taking a quarterback because they already have Fields. And then Dallas comes up to the board. You knew Dallas wasn't taking a quarterback because, of course, they already had Dak Prescott. Los Angeles had Justin Herbert. New York had just drafted earlier in the first round Zach Wilson. They took Elijah Vera Tucker. So as crazy as it sounds, and I thought at the time, maybe there is something. Maybe he doesn't love Mac, but he actually played the board the right way. He read the board. You have to give Bill credit for that. He actually read the board. If you look through it, you can understand why Bill stayed put and he didn't panic and trade up and give up additional draft capital. Now, Chicago had to do it because they were way back and they needed to get Fields. They wanted Fields. So you understand why Chicago did it, but Bill read the board correctly. You have to give him credit for that. 617-779-7937. 7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 6 o'clock. So a lot more to get into. So on the table all night, is Bill close to being vindicated, or is he already vindicated for moving on from Tom Brady? Are the Patriots legitimate bona fide contenders in the AFC? And I do want to get to this. I believe the Patriots can win the AFC, and it's because of the rest of the teams in the conference. I'll tell you why next, right here on WEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.